Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome in, 720 WGN. Dean Richard doing real work. Dean Richards was there. Now we get to go back to the toy department of the sports world with a little bit of seriousness. Say hello, Jared Payton. How are you, sir?
What's going on, Mark Carmen? How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. My headphones are a little bit...
I can see that.
...faclonked. I'm going to have to do something. Is that a word? I'm going to have to switch these out at some point, but I'm going to bear... You don't even wear headphones over there. They're on your head.
I really don't like to unless we have a caller. I love to be able to hear your voice just with my ears.
You look so professional.
No. I look forward to today. I didn't even have to get your kind of game plan of the show. I kind of knew the direction that you were going to be headed.
Yeah, we got a lot going on here. The Bears have a quarterback, and it's very exciting. Adam Hogue's actually down in Bourbonnais. It's the last day of tomorrow there's a practice, but it's closed to the public. Last day that fans can go down to Bourbonnais and see the team. Hogue is a little bit late to the show because he just interviewed Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager. So we're going to hear from Pace later in the show, probably in the 5 o'clock hour, and Adam will jump on when he has everything settled down in Bourbonnais with us. All right. So, you, sir,
yes.
Jared Payton, I haven't talked to you. Mitchell Trubisky came out and was better than advertised. He was incredible. We haven't had a quarterback in the city since Jim McMahon. And I think there is, and I know that you've watched a ton of tape.
Yes.
And I know that you're the biggest Bears fan that I know, that you live, breathe, and live your life around the team. And you're wearing a Chicago Bears alumni fleece right now. So this is personal for you.
Yes, it's very personal.
I don't know. Is it wrong to say that right now you feel more comfortable at quarterback than we have basically ever?
I'm going to say that kind of what my headline of my Peyton Presser, which is on WGMRadio.com right now, I said that Trubisky gives me hope for the future for this Bears team. And I know it's just only one preseason game, but Carm, when I break down this guy's film and watching every single snap over and over from last year at UNC, I can see why. There were certain things that jumped out to me that made me excited about his game, and I was trying to figure out and dig deep and not just say that I didn't like the Bears moving up to get him and really give it an open mind of how I looked at the situation and try to figure out why Ryan Pace and the Bears organization went up to get this guy. And I started to see those flashes in the video that I saw. In camp, the quarterback that I've seen has been – you know, shown the same thing, shown flashes here and there. But in the game, I saw a quarterback that came out, and regardless of what the game plan was or how small it was, he executed that game plan. And I love to see that. The one thing jumps out is his eye discipline down the field of looking at receivers and always keeping his eyes open. His feet are unbelievable. He's got great footwork. He can only get better from there. And the people that were tweeting me like, oh, you know, he's playing against inferior talent. Well, first of all, that hits me to the heart because I was one of those guys that was playing in those preseason games trying to make a squad, but coming from a good program, it didn't matter to me. Take all that stuff, throw it aside, and just really look at the traits that you're looking for in a quarterback and the things that you want. And on the field, he gave us that in the first outing, which the pressure on him was – I couldn't even imagine how much pressure was on his shoulders. For this city to be starving for a quarterback and to know that you're the first quarterback taken in the 2017 draft and everybody's watching you, and he came out and he showed us, like, this is what I'm all about. Man, the kid's – he's a gamer, and I think he can be special, but I think it's going to take time for him to get better, and we have to watch him grow, and he's going to have some times where he might not play well, and we're just going to have to kind of understand that. But over time, I think he has what it takes to be a pretty special player if he can put it all together. But the Bears have to surround him with playmakers. He's not going to just be able to do it himself. The Bears offense needs more playmakers, and Ryan Pace in this organization has to figure out down the line when this kid is going to start, whenever that is, that he has the right people around him to be successful. And when you add a guy like Adam Shaheen and Tariq Cohen, these guys have already shown you it doesn't matter where you go to school. If you can play ball, you can play ball. and they have to be able to figure out to get more guys like that offensively around him.
Reminder that at North Carolina, Mitchell Trubisky. We'll get to that at about 3:30. We're going to get into Mitch versus Mitchell. But at Carolina, he was a backup except for one season. But whenever he got an opportunity to step in for Marquise Williams, who was the Carolina starter, he always did something. Now, I wasn't exactly watching Mitchell Trubisky at that point, but that's when you go back and look at the tape and see what people were saying. Every time he got an opportunity, he stepped in and was successful, which is, to your point and just to the whole Thursday night, here he is, first time under the lights, getting an opportunity, and he's running with it. So when the lights are shining bright,
he's comfortable.
Mitchell Trubisky gets that extra juice going on. Adam Hoge apparently is ready to join us from Bourbon A. What's up, Hoagie?
Hey, guys, and some breaking news.
What?
Some decent-sized breaking news.
What is it?
The Bears, according to Field Yates from ESPN, have claimed Bucs kicker Roberto Aguayo.
Wow.
Off of waivers.
Wow. I saw that yesterday come across my timeline. I was just watching what he did in college to kind of his rookie year. It was a little different. And, hey, you're adding on to a guy that was super successful in college. Hopefully he can turn that on here.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if a change of scenery helps him because he was a big-time kicker coming out of college.
Big time.
I mean, look, the Bucs overdrafted him. They shouldn't have traded up in the second round to do that. But he was a guy worth drafting. And I wanted the Bears to go out and draft a kicker this year. So, you know, now the only thing here is you're assuming his whole contract by claiming him off of waivers. So this is, I would imagine, Connor Barth's in some serious trouble here because you're on the hook for Aguayo's contract at this point.
Major breaking news. The Bears have a new kicker.
If you need to pull
off the road right now and digest that Roberto Aguayo is here and Connor Barth is
Barth. Just call him Connor Barth?
I enjoyed Barf a lot more than Barth on Connor. That's a little bit immature of me, but I thought that Connor Barf was a better kicker than Connor Barth, just like Mitchell Trubisky is a better quarterback than Mitch. Roberto Aguayo, huh? Did you hear the rumors around there, Hogue, that the Bears were looking for a kicker? Is this completely out of nowhere?
No. But because of what they did to bring in Andy Phillips in the offseason to create some competition with Connor Barth and how quickly that ended. When the Bucs waived Aguayo the other day, it did cross my mind. I was like, I wonder if the Bears would be interested there. Because obviously they wanted to get better competition for Barth. And Aguayo has a bigger leg. And I think that's something the Bears could use. Now, my thing, though, is just would they want to assume a whole second-round pick contract? And apparently they're okay with it.
Tampa Bay cutting the former second-round pick after he missed an extra point and a 47-yard field goal and a 23-12 loss to the Bengals in their preseason opener. Bucks are moving forward with Nick Folk. And now the Bears making the Aguayo move. Well, you said they got a ton of cap space, right?
Yeah.
So they can cut him if he sucks, right?
Yes. Yeah, I guess so. I
still think the change of scenery is going to be good for him because anytime that you go through, especially with kickers, Hogue, you know how much it gets into their head. If you get an opportunity to change scenery, give you opportunity to get back on your feet.
For the record, there's the biggest dog ever that I've seen outside the Showcase studio by the name of Hannibal, who looks like, I'm not exactly sure what that dog is, but that is one large horse-like dog animal. And I know this is radio, and you can't see it, so I feel like I shouldn't bring it up, but that has to be mentioned. JP, you want to confirm that's the biggest dog you've ever seen in
the biggest dog
WGN history? That is one large animal.
It's a huge dog.
By the way, the Cubs are playing the Diamondbacks right now. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on there. They're up 1-0 in the first.
And by the way, okay, so it's a four-year, $4 million, $4.05 million contract that he originally signed with Tampa Bay. So he's a year into that. I don't have the exact structure in front of me at this moment. But so if he comes to Bourbon A, and well, they're leaving Bourbon A, but if he, you know, he's going to get the chance to kick in three preseason games. If he's terrible, you took a $3 million flyer on a guy who could be pretty good. So
I'll take it.
I'm all in on Roberto Aguayo. we're taking up. There's one little bit of a, like, for a guy like Jared Payton sitting here, and I look at like a Super Bowl champion, and to be taking Tampa Bay Bucks castoffs, there's a little bit of pain right there. It's a Bucks castoff, man.
Hey, man, it is what it is. The kid was a good kicker. You know where he went to school? I don't want to mention that. Sorry. I'm a
Florida
hurricane.
Florida State.
Yeah.
Seminole, huh? All right.
Seminole.
All right, Bears got a new kicker. A little Mitch Trubisky coming back here as we delve into something incredibly important in a moment. What's going on out there, Hogue? People are having way too much fun at Bourbonnais.
We got the whole radio, Bourbonnais Radio Row thing going again.
Bourbonnais Radio Row. Should we try to invade another radio station by having you be real boisterous?
Yeah, if I start yelling really loud, I could do that.
I mean, that's kind of an angle, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Hogue should try to promote the show by being loud on other radio stations.
We can make this a national show if I just talk louder.
I don't think it's a terrible idea. Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. It's The Beat with you till 6 on 720 WGN. So this is the natural theme song, and there's a reason why it's playing right now. It's everybody huddle around the radio. It's been a long softball season.
Yeah, it has.
I turned 44 years old on Friday.
Happy belated.
The power, the speed, haven't been the same as when I was in my 20s, my 30s.
Yeah, but you look young.
Thank you.
You do, so don't let it get you down.
Today, JP, Adam Hogue, Dan Long, 720 WGN. Pitch came through, 3-2. Mm-hmm. Waited for it beautifully.
Then what?
And there it went. Shot out to center field. Left center field is running for it. Right center field is running for it. They're not going to get it.
Bomb.
Ball's going to roll. And there goes Carm around the bases like he used to in his 20s. Touch them all. First homer of the summer on August the 13th.
Well, at least you didn't pull anything. It's like the best part.
I did not get injured.
It was a slow season for you, but I mean, you helped out in other ways. Just you weren't hitting bombs.
So you regularly hit home runs?
I used to, man. Got that DeMarini out. Would hit bombs into the night. Like, I'd be good for like 10 a year or something like that.
Mm-hmm. 10 a year?
10 a year.
I had a little something going back in the day. And now it's like a...
Seems like a lot.
Yeah, well...
Seems like you're more like a 4.5 home run a year guy.
Now I'm a home run a year guy and talk about it on the radio because it was such a miracle. You know who pitched against us today, by the way? Sean Marshall, former Chicago Cub, was pitching today for the team at 9 o'clock in the morning.
What?
Yep. Sean Marshall was on the bump in Lincolnwood.
Wait, you hit a home run off Sean Marshall?
I hit it in game two, so I didn't hit one off Sean Marshall. But I did hit a rip shot right up the middle, right past Sean Marshall and nearly... You know, kind of clock Sean Marshall, and I apologize. Sorry, pitch. Didn't mean to go up the middle on you there, pal.
Gotta get ready for it.
Sean Marshall took the loss in game one. Lost to a 60-year-old Kenny Hendrickson, who pitched for us. We ripped Sean Marshall. Who was, by the way, the nicest guy going. Can you imagine that? You played in the majors, and now you're playing Sunday morning softball with Carm? And
that sounds fun.
That's a big drop, though.
Nah.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is.
That's a rough situation. But Sean Marshall's out. He's playing in the league. Okay, moving along here, Hogue. What happened at Bears camp today before we do our Mitch versus Mitchell after 3:30? Anything other than Roberto Aguayo?
Do you want news stuff or just things I saw at practice?
Whatever you pick, baby.
I mean, Trubisky ran the easiest 2-minute drill I've ever seen in my life. Bombed down the right sideline to Tanner Gentry, then hooked up with Daniel Brown for a touchdown in two plays. Bam.
Dang.
And that was after Mike Glennon got down to the 2-yard line, and then there was only 3 seconds left on the clock, so they had one play, and I believe it was Marcus Cooper broke up the pass, so the first team did not get in the end zone. Tanner Gentry keeps making plays. It's not hard. Like I'm overhyping the guy. He's out here every single day making. Today he pulled a ball off of Marcus Cooper's helmet.
See,
like in midair.
That's what he does, man. If you watch his Wyoming film, that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the one-handed catches that we've seen in camp, he did that in college, man. He has the ability to time a ball all the time with a guy draped over him and just will like get down in the lowest position and catch the ball one-handed. If he keeps making plays, I think the only thing with him, though, Hogue, probably is he's not a special teams guy, is he? I mean, that would really help his.
Yeah, I mean, they're working on that with him. He's never done it before.
Yeah.
He has done some return work, but never on coverage teams. So the other night was the first time, and I didn't even break down the tape that much to verify if he actually got out there on special teams. I assume he did at some point in the night. But he said that was going to be the first time that he would, has done that in a game. And I asked him when's the last time he hit somebody, and he had to go back to, an interception where he had to make the tackle.
You don't laugh. It's being an offensive guy. It's the hardest thing. You're so used to running people over or like getting hit, but tackling people is tough.
Yeah,
it's a tough thing to do. I had to do it jumping on special teams. It was hard.
I think one notable note. Sorry, Carm.
No, go ahead.
Marcus Wheaton broke his finger today.
We saw that. He had a bum camp, man. It's like a rough one. Man. He didn't get a chance to shine at all.
Appendectomy, came back. Today was the first time he really did, some legitimate work and caught a pass and his pinky broke. They seem to think it's not a big deal, though.
We're going to continue the movement that we started yesterday after the 3:30 news here, which is extremely important, and WGN is going to be a big part of making Mitchell Trubisky the very best quarterback he can be and change the whole tenor the city has as far as Bears quarterbacks go. So you want to be with us here right after news, and we do need your help.
Over there
720 WGN. Yes, I'm okay. Hope you're having a great afternoon.
Look at this beautiful family outside.
Beautiful family.
Gosh,
yes, they look great.
Look like they're having a great time here in Chicago.
Where are you coming from, family?
Oswego.
All right.
I used to live in Oswego. Yes,
go Oswego. Mom, dad, and 3 lovely children.
Just 2?
2?
Okay. Well, don't claim the other one.
Okay,
yeah.
My bad. Sorry.
You don't look like them. Sorry.
Thanks for stopping by WGN. Good to see you. So, all right, we got something we got to address here, team.
All right, I'm ready.
So, all right, Hogue, the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears will be Mitchell Trubisky in what game this year?
This is a lot harder question this week than it was last week.
Doesn't matter. Call it week 7. It's going to happen this year. Here's the point. You're trying to establish a credible starting quarterback who's going to stand the test of time and lead this team to a Super Bowl victory for the first time since 1985. The starting quarterback for that team is Mitchell Trubisky. It's not Mitch Trubisky. Mitchell is a name that is solid. If you're a quarterback, you have to have a name that people will take you serious. If you're in any position in life where people need to take you serious, you need a proper, powerful, demands respect name.
Yes.
And Mitchell demands respect. Mitch is a guy that, in general, that's the dude you hang out with. You don't trust him. He's probably going to tell you something and do another thing. Mitch is a guy that I can't get with to be for the quarterback. Mitchell, I'm there. Hogue, are you with me?
As someone who used to have a boss named Mitch, I totally disagree.
Oh, I knew you were going to go there.
I didn't even think about that angle.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other thing. But that's not
quarterback. Once again, it took me just one sentence to shoot down an entire farm rant.
Well, if you want to do that, that's fine. But listen, you know who the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts is?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Okay.
Not Andy.
Yeah, you know who Andy is? Andy is Dalton. Andy is disappointing. Mm. Andy doesn't command respect. Think about it in presidential terms.
Uh-oh.
Is Barry Obama going to run the country? No, but Barack Obama will.
Okay, what's your issue here? Because he is officially listed as Mitchell.
Because the city is calling him Mitch. The Chicago Tribune calls him Mitch. If we all call him Mitch, he's going to act like a Mitch. He needs to act like a Mitchell. Mitchell Trubisky. This should,
what? Okay.
312-98.
You're jumping on board with this one?
Jared's with me. Are you with me?
I just... There is something different from Mitch and Mitchell when you say it. I get where you're coming from, but it's weird because he came into the city and kind of opened it up, saying you can call me whatever you want to call me.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
That's the problem. He needs to care.
That's what he's saying, Hogue. He's saying he needs
to care.
Well,
why don't you take this a step further? Why isn't it Michael Glennon?
Because
it doesn't sound cool.
Mike Glennon is a quarterback. But he's not Mikey. He's Mike. Now,
yeah,
by the
Mike
way,
Mike is short for Michael. Well, what's wrong with Mitch? How is Mike any different than Mitch? By the way, this is the dumbest conversation I've ever had on this radio show.
This is a very important conversation. 312-981-7200. Should he be Mitch or Mitchell? We did this yesterday, and we got some reaction that was, in my mind, I thought people weren't seeing this clearly. Mitchell is definitely the answer. And to your point, Hogue, it is important. How you're viewed, why do you think that the first child that's born in families, why are they the most likely to be sort of on top of their game and organized and successful? Because they're raised that way. You're the first kid. You're put in control. Whereas the third kid, like myself, you're allowed to play with knives and you learn to get away with things. Mitch gets away with things. Mitchell is solid. Mitch will tweet about women's chests back in the day. Mitchell is doing your taxes for you. The Bears need a Mitchell, man. Enough with the Mitch. Mitch is done. Mitchell Trubisky should be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, not Mitch.
Oh, Hogue, I love this. I wish I could see your face right now. I really do.
Yeah, it's not pretty. What was wrong with what Mitch did on Thursday night?
See?
There was nothing wrong with it, but the point is to listen. That's one performance. We need consistency. Mitchell will be consistent. The next day at practice, he wasn't right. You said yesterday he wasn't great at practice because he was acting like a Mitch. We need a Mitchell. 312-981-7200. Does he need to be Mitchell Trubisky? Should he be Mitch or Mitchell? Mitchell. Listen, you look.
Let me just say this. I'm gonna jump in on your back on this one.
He wasn't Joey Montana. He was Joe Montana.
Listen, he got into this process of the NFL draft and he changed his name to Mitchell. There was something there. I mean, Hogue. Even though
his mom
is crazy,
it was his mom that wanted to hear his name announced by Roger Goodell, that Mitchell Trubisky.
Exactly. Mom
and then he
is
got
right.
drafted, and we talked to him the next day, and he goes, I don't really care.
Right. Exactly. This is a problem. Mom is right. Mom wants her son to be respected. Mom wants her son to be going by his actual name. Mitchell is his name. We should call him Mitchell. When you're out there, covering the season, you should be addressing him as Mitchell. Hey.
847, dumbest topic ever, waste of time. Completely agree, 847.
Well, you know, that's fine. The 847 can have that opinion.
What's the we're coming to America? Mama called Clay. I'm calling Clay. Remember?
Right.
Yeah. I see where you're going with this one, Carm. I mean, I was on the fence, but
773 says I'm with Carm. The boy's got to grow up. Exactly. Mitch is a boy. Mitchell is a man. We're looking for a man. We need a man to come in here and do a man's job. Mitchell is a man. Mitch is hanging out in Dazed and Confused and being a clown. 312-981-7200. Now, and I'm doing this for quarterbacks, but listen, the greatest running back of all time, was he Wally Payton or was he Walter Payton?
Yeah, that's strong.
Right.
I like how you went with Wally instead of Walt.
You know what everybody used to call him? Walt
would have made more sense. You're like Wally Payton.
Wally. Oh, what?
Walt would make more sense in this particular argument.
Willie,
that's
Willie
true.
Gault, but, man, but, wide receivers can have anything.
Right, wide receivers is cool. You're the wide receiver. You're not. We're not relying on you anything to cut. You know, you catch the football. Mitchell gets in the huddle and has to lead things. You're a Mitchell. I'm not. Who do you respond better to, Mitchell or Mitch? If I, you're gonna make a decision. Do you, your boss. If it's Mitchell, you're going to do what he says. If it's Mitch, you might do something else unless you're Hogan in a prior radio life. Take that out of the equation. But you probably there was probably moments back in the day even then where you didn't really listen to Mitch. And if it was Mitchell, you might have listened.
I like how you just said that. Then you said, but unless you're Hogue, and just discount something that really happened in real life instead of in random karm life.
Random Karm Life is actually pretty cool. That's why I'm soaking all this in right now.
Random Karm Life is a place that scares me, quite frankly.
773 texting, and Karm is trying to make him beloved. I am. Michael Walter, not just another athlete. Throws in there at the end, but I still agree, dumb conversation. It's not a dumb conversation. why does it have to be a smart conversation? Well, smart conversations, who wants to have those anyway?
We'll have those a little bit later.
Yeah, I mean, dumb, smart. It's not always about being the most intelligent guy. It's about thinking about what's important in life, and this is important. 773 says, I want the last 5 minutes of my life back. Sir, you are lucky to be listening to this deep discussion right here at 720 WGN. Mitchell. Hogue, what do you call him when you ask him a question? You say Mitch or Mitchell?
Mitch. I think I've been writing Mitch, too, because he told me to my face he's fine with it. And I don't want to type 3 extra letters.
See?
Do you know how many letters I type in a day?
Yes.
I gotta conserve my letters.
No,
you have to ration your letters.
See, he's trying. Right. This is the problem, though. He's trying to be a nice guy to you. I don't care. No, man. You're the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. You care how your name is spelled, written, said, all of it. You're not the super nice guy. You're Mitchell Trubisky, and you have a presence when you walk in the room. You're not Johnny Nice Guy telling Hogue that he can put whatever he wants. No, your name is Mitchell. From now on, you're the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, or trying to be.
I have a hard time always writing out Mitchell. I just always write Mitch.
Don't you think out there it should be Mitchell and not Mitch? Looking outside at the
they
street here smiling at me,
care.
But they're just smiling
their
because
hand. They don't care.
Yeah.
They're like, Mitch who?
312-981-7200 phone line, text line. Hey, Karm, can you call me Marky? No, you cannot. And maybe you can. I don't care. Call me Marky if you want. I'm not the quarterback of the Bears.
Yeah, but that's not a strong name, though.
But I'd rather radio host, good radios, Mark Carmen, not Marky. You think, and would I be on WGN if my name was Marky? I would be sold down the river. I'd be lucky to have a podcast if I was Marky. By the way, check out my podcast on iTunes, On the Mark.
On the Marky?
On the
On the Marky.
Hey, Vic, welcome to WGN. Mitchell Trubisky, right, Vic? You know I'm right here.
Well, guys, I'm older than you, but I remember a show called Dennis the Menace.
Yes.
And Mr. Wilson was the crabby neighbor next door, and he always called Dennis's father Mitchell, because that was their last name.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. It's a great show.
Yeah, plus, Jared, didn't your father, years ago, he did an interview where somebody called him Wally, and he told the reporter, don't ever call me Wally again.
I'll tell you this. People used to mess it up, always called him Waller. They used to say, Waller. I heard President Bush call him Waller one time, and he didn't ever check him, but he would check everybody else.
Vic.
Yeah, but I can still remember that interview with the guy asking the question, and he goes, Wally, and then your father answered, and he says, and don't ever call me Wally again.
So it does mean something to somebody. I mean,
hey, does anybody know when the Northwestern practices start up here in Kenosha?
They've been going on, man.
Today. They started today up there.
I think they moved in last night. I saw that big tractor and trailer.
Vic, get on up there. The cats want to see you.
Hey, it's Mitch, man. This is Chicago.
Thanks, Vic.
The north side, okay?
Vic, how has it worked out in the past with it's been Chicago and the way the Bears were the
that other soundbite, Elliot?
Elliot.
Nobody names the kid Elliot. Elliot's the kid in school that eats paste. Remember that movie?
Vic, are you eating paste today? We
I
like you, Vic.
You,
call back, man.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Appreciate you. We got to get to the hordes of people that are calling in right now in the Mitchell versus Mitch.
He's Vic. He goes by Vic.
He goes Vic. Right, that's another thing. Think about that. If Mike Vick had actually been Michael Vick, I don't think, call me crazy.
No, don't go there.
I don't think he ends up in the dog situation that he ended up in.
All right, first of all, I
think that Michael Vick probably would have been a great pocket passer too. Mike Vick.
What are you talking about? Everyone called him Michael Vick. I never once called him Mike Vick. He was always Michael Vick.
The bottom line is whatever Mike Vick was doing was wrong. He needed to change his name. Mitchell is never going to need to change his name. Think about it from a, like, Mike Jordan. That dude, nobody knew who he was. Michael Jordan, everybody knew who he was, and he became the greatest player to play anything.
That's where this all stems from.
312-981-7200. Should Adam Hogue have to type three more letters for the rest of his Bears coverage career of Mitchell Trubisky? Irv, I know that you think this is important, Irv. Go ahead.
No, it's not important. It's a ridiculous conversation. It's a waste of their time, and I prefer Mitch. You're wasting their time. I'm about to change the station. I heard all this baloney yesterday. It doesn't matter.
Irv.
Mitch is better anyhow.
Irv's my guy.
Irv.
I love you, Irv.
Irv, how often do you call the station?
This is the first time.
Exactly right, Irv.
You got me angry enough to call.
Well, there we go.
It's a ridiculous conversation. It doesn't matter.
Irv?
It doesn't matter at all.
Irving? Irv? What?
Yeah, Irv is not my full name.
See? Irv, yeah. Irv, names.
I like Irv better.
Irv, names matter.
Yeah.
I like Irv better, too. I like Mitch better.
Mitchell.
I like Mike better.
Mitchell, Irv. When he drops back to pass this year, you think of us and you think Mitchell, okay?
I will not. Mitch is fine with me. This is a ridiculous conversation. It's a waste of their time.
Thank you, Irv. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
312-981-7200. Are you with Irv?
Irv's my favorite caller of all time to the show.
Man, you got Irv so heated. He called WGN.
Hey guys,
for the first time.
608. Hey guys, what about Bartholomew Starr, Sidney Luckman, Robert Douglas? That's exactly, there's a great one. If Bobby Douglas had been Robert Douglas, maybe he would have been able to actually find a receiver rather than throw it 7,000 miles an hour and throw it out of the end zone. He needed to be Robert.
You just listed off like three ones that went against your argument, and then you focused on Bobby Douglas.
He was Bobby Douglas. Bobby Douglas would have been better as Robert.
Skipped over Sid Luckman.
Tom Brady is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Tommy Brady is terrible.
What about Thomas? His name is Thomas.
Tom is a solid name. You believe in Tom. Look at the names of the quarterbacks. Carson Palmer, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco. These are real names. And then
Dan Long, I will give you $20 right now to just go to break.
Steve, welcome to 720 WGN.
I thought about it yesterday.
What's up, Steve? Welcome to 720 WGN. Mitch or Mitchell, Steve?
Hey, guys. I'm going to go Mitchell, and I'm going to tell you a very good reason. Okay?
Let's hear it.
So let's go to the Top Gun movie. And if you know the movies, they pick strong names for characters. What was the name of Top Gun? What was his name? You guys know?
The name of, you talking about Cruise in Top Gun?
Yeah. What was his name?
It was Maverick and Goose.
Lieutenant Pete Mitchell.
Pete Mitchell, that's right. Pete Mitchell, very good.
Yeah. Lieutenant Pete Mitchell. And those guys, they pick strong names. And that's what I'm going to go with. And thank you, guys.
Shorten the last name.
Steve, brilliant call. Absolutely brilliant, Steve. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Lieutenant Pete Mitchell.
It's his last name.
Don't care. It backs my point. Somehow, some way.
Hogue, he's stretching this, man. He's got people mad, though.
By the way, the Bears put Reuben Randall on IR.
Reuben Randall, not Ruby, Reuben.
In case you want information that actually matters.
Ruby. Not Ruby Randall, Reuben Randall, and he made it to the NFL.
Man.
A lot of people really like the name Mitch.
Mitch made it to the NFL too.
Yeah, he did.
Well, all right. Just for me, the rest of my time,
it's going
to
be
Mitchell. They're allowing me to do shows on this station, which could be shorter after this segment. I am calling him Mitchell Trubisky, Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich, OB, solid.
What? You just gave three. Daniel. Dan is short for Daniel.
But it's not Danny. Danny Hampton doesn't make the Hall of Fame. Dan Hampton does. Eddie Obradovich does not make the Hall of Fame. But we're talking about quarterbacks, so it's really not even important. It's about the quarterback.
We're shifting away from what you started.
I'm at least 20% dumber after the last 20 minutes of radio.
312-981-7200. Did you get smarter? Wow, Irv was so get off my lawn. Mitchell, because his mom said so, a mom in the suburbs. Thank you, 224. Appreciate you seeing the actual reason. Dan Long. You think Dan Long would be producing the show if he was Danny Long?
Yeah, he probably would.
Danny Long would not be sitting where he's sitting right now in the prestigious position of producing the beat on 720 WGN.
My Mitchell, what would your mama say?
Exactly.
If she ever knew that you were...
Some great texts here. If it was Jonathan Manziel and not Johnny Manziel, .. right? Guy'd still be in the league.
I don't know, man. I was with you for a while. Now I'm on the other side of the fence.
Mitch is a guy's guy named Short Quick. Mitchell's a name for a dentist or an accountant. Randall Cunningham, not Randy. Thomas Brady is practicing law. Tommy Brady is breaking the law. Right? Hoag, are you still with us or have you retired?
I've retired.
You don't realize.
You have to understand, I just got done having a conversation with the general manager of the Chicago Bears, and then I ran up here and I'm having this conversation with you now.
That's the beauty of your life.
Best of both worlds, man.
My God.
I really want to know what you guys were talking about, you and Ryan Pace.
I'm trying to get it for you guys, but Carm keeps distracting me with dumb conversations about people's names.
You are responsible for your own actions, sir. You can't blame at the Carm on Twitter. Please follow me. Mitchell. You know who gets distracted? Mitch. Mitchell would be able to get it done. Mitchell gets it done. Mark, I for one want to thank you for the conversations you guys are having about Mitch versus Mitchell. Because with all the talk of North Korea and nuclear annihilation, I need something like this right now. Thank you. No problem. We are here to lighten the load right now. And we actually are. Kyle Long talked about what went on in Virginia, so we're going to play that at some point today. So we will do a little bit of actual real life. And then we'll ask him about Mitchell. You should ask Kyle Long about it.
He's going to call him Mitch.
Mitchell is someone respected in that locker room. Mitch, they're like, yeah, just give it to Mitch. Mitch is the guy that goes and brings the water to Kyle Long. Mitchell's like, Kyle, yo, let's go get some dinner. Let's discuss the offense. And Kyle's like, I got to be there because Mitchell wants me there. Mitch, he's like, I got something to do.
Other plans.
Other plans for Mitch. Mitchell, he's there.
Hey, Jared, what do you want to see in Saturday's game?
Oh, man. He keeps sucking me back into this conversation that I can't leave.
JP loves it.
It's amazing to see people actually commenting to him on the text line. Like, people actually are feeling this conversation. And
I think he skipped over quite a few texts.
Yeah, he has. No, I got the text line in front of me. It is being edited live on the radio.
I've read the ones that don't care. 708, who freaking cares? You call him Trubinsky. You better take the Bears to a Super Bowl sometime in the next 3 to 8 years. He's going to be booed out of town. Right. See, Mitch probably gets booed out of town. Mitchell, you're in the Super Bowl. Good point.
Now, if you want to have that conversation about how fans need to stop calling him Trubinsky, I'm all about that one.
Well, the part of the reason why they're calling him Trubinsky is because he came in there with that soft, you can call me Mitch or Mitchell. Now they're just fluffing the last name, radio people included.
Yeah. So back to that, Hoag, what you were asking me about Saturday. I want to see Kevin White have some success. I need to see that. I need to see whether it was watching the film and just seeing, like, you know, how Glennon's reads were and all that other stuff. I need to see him take a step and doesn't have to be a bunch of catches. I need him to make a play that makes me go, okay, kind of like that Leonard Floyd play, you know,
yeah.
coming across the,
yeah.
coming around the edge and making the sack and going, that's what you want to see. Like, okay, I see that, and it makes me feel happy about moving forward with where he's at and understanding, you know, the offense. That's what I want to see. And there's, because to me, regardless if you're putting Mitch or Mitchell or Mike or Michael Glennon in to throw passes, you got to have playmakers. And I just feel like you need more help on the outside with those receivers.
Hey, we will do more actual Bears football coming up.
You tricked me today, dude. I totally.
You loved it.
I did love it, but you tricked me. You're, oh, it's all football. You. All right, you better get into it after this.
773. Rex was a pretty nice, tough name, right? Rex. Mitch. Rex.
Rex is a solid name.
I didn't love anything about the last 30 minutes.
You know, regardless of where it's happening, you know, injustice in the world we live in is, in any place, is injustice to humanity, and it's a threat to the freedoms we have. Obviously, it's a small percentage of people involved who are blatantly in the wrong, and we need to do our best as good folks and, you know, continue to outnumber and express our opinions and act accordingly when given the opportunity to.
That is Bears offensive lineman Kyle Long talking about the terrorist attack that happened in Virginia yesterday. White supremacist attack, 32-year-old woman killed, 30 people injured, 19 in the car crash. James Field, 20 years old, driving the car. Kyle Long from Virginia, that's why they were asking him about it. Adam, were you there when he spoke today?
I was not there today because we were talking to Ryan Pace at the time.
Okay. So it's an interesting spot for Kyle Long to be in. And he, you know, to his credit, spoke up. I always want to hear what athletes have to say about these things, but it's also like you sort of have to want to do it too.
Yeah, but I mean, even yesterday, looking at some of the comments, you know, I go through when I see people who are tweeting about stuff and LeBron James's comments and the people, a lot of people responding that stick to what you do. Don't be vocal. You know what I mean? Like, stay in your lane. And that just bothers me. That bothers me the most. But I understand the world that we live in with social media and people sitting behind computers or their phones wanting just to be able to voice their opinion. But I love the fact that we have a chance to hear guys speak out. And with Kyle being who Kyle is here in Chicago, you want to hear those things and what people have to say about the issues that are going on. I don't mind it.
We got one more cut from Kyle, so let's play play this one as well as to the horrendous attacks yesterday in Virginia.
Well, obviously, you know, people ask, you're from Charlottesville? It kind of leaves a bad taste in their mouth thinking that one of their guys is from Charlottesville where they see all these rallies and stuff happening. Like I said, don't let a few bad apples ruin what is really true about Charlottesville and that area. It's good folks there. Grew up with really good people. I got buddies who are in the police department. I got a lot of family and friends out there. So, you know, it's rough, but you got to just, you know, it's a strange time. And like I said, the more we can do right to each other and act accordingly when presented with the situation, then the better off we'll be.
So defending his hometown and
simple. I love his word, simple. Like, I mean, it goes back to what we were taught, you know, back in the day from, you know, our parents. Like, I know my parents would treat people how you want to be treated. I mean, I know it's so cliche. I get that. But, you know, it really is treat people how you want to be treated, man. And it's just a weird. And I love the fact that he talked about it. It is a small, you know, group of people. But in the end, all of us that are on this earth every single day, man, we're not promised the next day. So, man, take advantage of the day that you have. I tell kids all the time when I speak at schools, like when I'm there at like 9 o'clock, listen, take advantage of the day because you don't even know if you're going to have the entire day here. So just like you have to make every second count. It's too crazy to be filled with all this hate and all the stuff that's going on, man. It's crazy.
Well, what happens if he had said something along the lines of, listen, to be honest, I'm extremely embarrassed by my hometown, or at least half of my hometown right now, but I'm also extremely proud of the amount of protesters that came out to go against the rally that was happening. I mean, it's asking a lot, but
it is asking a lot.
I mean, I think in a way he did kind of say that, though.
He did, but it could have been a lot more forceful. Like, look, I know a lot of people that I grew up, they don't want to let go of, you know, 1950. I wish they would, but they don't. And it's depressing to me. It could have been a little harsher. I'm not trying to go at Kyle Long in any way, shape, or form. But
I mean, it's, I think it's an unfair expectation to ask every single, like, he's the one guy on the team that happens to be from Charlottesville. He knew why he was being asked to go to the podium and talk today, and it had nothing to do with football.
Right.
And I give him credit for showing up and doing it.
No doubt.
I don't think it's fair to criticize him. He's not in a position of leadership. He's a football player on the Chicago Bears. And I'm with you guys that, hey, anybody who has whatever job, whether it's being a left guard for the Chicago Bears or on the radio like we are, or just, you know, anybody that's listening to us right now, no one should have to stick to what they do. Everybody should be able to have an opinion on these things that are going on in our country. But at the same time, I don't think that just because Kyle Long, like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of, if you're saying, like, a football player, asking a football player, because he's a football player, to be extra strong on this issue just because he has a bigger platform, it's kind of like the extreme opposite of those who say, oh, just stick to sports. Stick to playing football. Stick to what you know. I mean, it's okay to just sort of be in the middle, right?
He could have easily said, no, I'm not speaking on this. I'd rather not. And he stepped up and did it. And
right.
So there's credit there. And Kyle Long's, I've always enjoyed Kyle Long.
He's a good dude. He's really good dude.
And I the whole thing about athletes speaking, listen, you are a human being on the earth. Right. You have a platform. You make a lot of money. You can choose to do a lot of things with that. Now, there's no right or wrong, I guess, but you would think that you would value things more in your life than just stowing away a bunch of dough and not doing something, giving back to the world that you live in.
Yeah.
I mean, end of the day, I would think something, it doesn't necessarily have to be this particular moment speaking out about white supremacists, but I do have an expectation of people that have you know, benefited a lot by their own hard work, by the way, that they, you know, that they do kind of give back and help people along.
But we're talking about just athletes, or we're going to just talk about football players. I mean, let's, Kyle Long, if you get a chance to know him, and Hogue, you've been around him, he's a little bit deeper than just a football player. Like, football is what he does, but having a conversation with him and sitting down and talk with him, you find out just how smart he is, and just, he's a good guy, and he has thoughts on a lot of stuff. And so to just single somebody out because they play a sport and stick to what you know, I just think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, his brother Chris has been way more outspoken these types of issues, and was today. And Kyle was asked about that today, and he said that Chris does a really good job articulating his views, be it politically, socially, economically. I try to stay out of this stuff, but the one thing I can say is that Charlottesville and the families affected are definitely in our thoughts and prayer. So, you know, Kyle's sort of always been a little bit tamer when it comes to this stuff. He is vocal on social media and things like that, but Chris has always been a little bit more outspoken on this stuff and was today. I mean,
his tweet at Donald Trump, this would be a moral layup, yet you go with on many sides unreal.
That's Chris?
Yeah, that is, yeah. Chris. Which I think is an extremely fair take and one shared by 95% of the world. If not more, that's what I, you know. So, but that's, so Chris is, I mean, yeah. Malcolm Jenkins was talking out, today would have been a good time to use your fire and fury like the world has never seen. Don't tell me you're getting soft on terrorism now. There's Malcolm Jenkins.
I think that's what everyone's big objection is with what Trump said yesterday. I mean, you come out and you're so strong against journalists. You're so strong against didn't he come out against Robert Mueller pretty harsh?
He's,
you know, with very specific type whether it's threats or whatever, but just very specific language scolding somebody or some specific person. But something like this, you just come out and say many sides. I mean, I think that's what everyone's upset about, and it's completely fair.
Right. The president of the United States, whoever it would be, you would think they would get up there and say something along the lines of, look, you, a lot of people are tying me to white supremacists. I would rather not be the president of the United States than to be aligned with these people. If I have to resign right now to not be aligned with them, I would. That's not what I'm about. But that's not where he's going.
Yeah, but he's got people in his own office that wouldn't let him say that.
I guess, but you know, you are your own guy. And to the point with Trump and the NFL, there's actually like a real tie-in. He spoke out about Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
He didn't want him in the league. He doesn't want guys who, you know, do the quote-unquote crime that Colin Kaepernick did. And he's got Woody Johnson, who's the owner of the New York Jets, on his payroll. He's the UK ambassador. The Jets needed a quarterback, didn't consider Colin Kaepernick. You can actually make a direct line to the president if you want to, and I don't think it's that off. Bob McNair, owner of the Houston Texans, who also needed a quarterback. Tom Savage is your quarterback. That dude donates more to Donald Trump and the Republican Party than any other owner in the NFL. So they're actually, there's a direct tie-in.
There's ties.
The teams that Kaepernick fit on best were mainly very much in bed with the president, who spoke out against Kaepernick, which I'm not saying that like there's some conspiracy against Colin Kaepernick. I don't think that all the owners got into a room and said, Colin, we can't have this guy in the league. But every single individual owner is making his own decision, and a lot of the owners that were making that decision, they had a vested interest to not have him on the team.
There's connection with all the teams, though, where these owners have, you know, if they're not talking to one another, they have people that are working for them that are talking and trying to figure out what's going on to come to a consensus of what everybody else is doing. That's what they want to know.
I think the fact that Baltimore did not sign him tells you everything you need to know about the situation.
Well, and they were at least
there are coaches in the league that would like him. There are GMs that would like Colin Kaepernick on their team. And it's going to a higher level. And there's something going on at that higher level. And I think, Carm, you brought up some very specific people. I mean, I don't know if there's enough evidence to say that Trump is directly involved in this, but there's enough people involved in it that there's pressure coming from somewhere, right? Not to sign him?
Pressure is coming from somewhere, Hogue. It has to. It's strong. Because you can't tell me. I'm looking at some of these quarterbacks that are in the NFL right now. They're not better than this dude. Not happening. I saw this guy almost win a Super Bowl. Okay?
Colin Kaepernick, with a reasonable assessment of quarterbacks in the world right now, is the 23rd to 27th best quarterback, wherever you want to slot him there. He's not an elite starting quarterback. He's a great backup, and he's a lower-level starter. There's no reason that he shouldn't be in the league.
Because there's somewhere around 90 quarterbacks right now that are employed.
I
don't know the specific number, but every team has at least two in camp. Some have four. The Bears have four right now. So it's somewhere around 90.
Well, put him on a team, though.
And you're telling me that he's not one of those 90?
Yeah, I'm
90?
You're crazy if you think that. I put him on a team, though, with some playmakers. Because this last year in San Francisco was not good. Put him on a team where there's a legitimate running back and a run game and all the things that kind of coincide with which makes him a good football player. You can't tell me that he's not better than half of these dudes I'm seeing in the league right now.
During the presidential race, it was reported that NFL owners don't want to pick him up because they don't want a nasty tweet from Donald Trump, Trump said. Do you believe that? I just saw that. I said I remember that one, that I'm going to report it to the people of Kentucky, Trump said. They like it when people actually stand for the American flag. He was outspoken about Cap. Now, I don't think that Donald Trump is having some, you know, direct impact in calling up NFL owners, but like Woody Johnson, who was of the New York Jets, and they could very much use Colin Kaepernick. Woody Johnson was made the UK ambassador by Trump, I don't think that's I don't think we're reaching too far here. I mean that's direct. So, but that's one team. And then when you saw what happened in Baltimore, which you just brought up, Hogue, Steve Bisciotti's worth $3.7 billion, the owner of the Ravens. You're telling me that you're worried about some sponsor to your team or what fans think? You don't need to worry about what fans think. If you want to,
no sponsor is going to pull out.
Yeah,
because that sponsor would get way more backlash for pulling out of the deal because they signed Colin Kaepernick.
Exactly. You actually might gain sponsors.
Right.
And again, like, where do you want to be in life? I'm worried about some sponsor. You're worth $3.7 billion. He might act if he helps your football team. But that's the thing. Like,
but that's the problem. That's the problem, the issue of growing up and playing sports. And, Hogue, I think you and I had this conversation on the podcast, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. We maybe just in Bourbonnais about how back in the day it used to be about if you could play, they'll find a way. Like that's what it was all. That's what I always learned is like guys that maybe weren't the best in school. They would, you know, I heard stories of people moving people through school just because this person was good at football and they would want them to stay. And so now a guy that is capable of still playing the game, I'm not saying he's a starter, but we know that he is better than a lot of these guys that are quarterbacks that are in the NFL and he can play. And it's that what I used to think was always true is now I'm seeing is not true.
I mean, Baltimore gave a very clear and exact of what goes on. John Harbaugh wanted him.
Yeah.
Ozzie Newsome wanted him. And there's a lot of people who say, well, he's a bad locker room guy. Well, let's talk about that.
I don't think so.
He was named the employee with the teammate with the most courage last year by the 49ers. His former coaches, Jim Harbaugh, has been going to bat for him. Chip Kelly has been going to bat for him.
A guy who I know who played with him said that great guy in the locker room. So I trust this person with a lot of stuff that I talk to on a regular basis.
But it's the age-old thing. If you are great and elite at your gig, you can do a lot of things. If you're the 23rd to 27th best quarterback in a backup,
get you out of here.
The people are going to be asking questions. They're not. You can't do it.
I see that Marshawn Lynch sat last night during the anthem?
Right.
He did.
Where's that? Why didn't he get cut today?
Because the Raiders need him more than he needs the Raiders, right?
Yeah, kind of. They do. They need him.
And he's.
But from what I've heard, though, Hogue, it's not like the first time. Like he's always kind of done that back and forth. So it's not like some groundbreaking the first time. I don't think.
312
Marshawn,
from Marshawn.
Feel free if you want to jump in on the conversation. 312-981-7200. You are welcome to weigh in with your thoughts here on 720 WGN 312-981-7200. Got to tell you, I love you for listening to the show and texting, but you have fun with a Mitch versus Mitchell, and then you go other way and actually have a serious topic, and people don't like it. They don't want a serious topic, but they get mad when you have fun too. Mitch versus Mitchell. Mitchell is the quarterback of the Bears. Hey, make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then you can stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. I do have a hot take coming up here. Hot is hot. But we'll do that after the 4:30 news. Adam Hogue is working fervently on getting us Ryan Pace's interview, so we'll have that hopefully at around 5:30, and we will talk to you after 4:30 and the news here. How you doing over there, Jared? You all right?
I'm doing well. Okay. Doing well.
All right. I'll give a little tease as to what's coming. What happened with last night with Bryce Harper, if you saw it in the Washington Nationals game, has a direct correlation to Wilson Contreras, who got hurt this week, which was unfortunate. And I have a broader perspective that I think I'm dead on 100% right, but it goes against like the quote unquote rules of society. So that is coming up here after the 4:30 news. 720 WGN. Mark Harmon, Jared Payton with you. Adam Hogue will return to the show after he's figured out the Ryan Pace interview, so that should be about 5 o'clock. You got me and JP for the next half hour here.
Let's do it.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Do a little Bryce Harper and baseball and how it relates to Wilson Contreras in about 10 minutes, but we will do a little bit more here on what's going on in the NFL and what Kyle Long spoke out today about Virginia, which was amazing and beautiful. And last night, Marshawn Lynch did not stand for the anthem. Marshawn Lynch not saying anything, though. He's spoken to reporters once since he came back in the league. So he's not really telling anybody why or why not. He's doing stuff. Jack Del Rio, the coach of the Raiders, like, hey, dude, we want you to stand. By the way, Kaepernick has said that he would stand if he's welcome back in the league, for the record.
Yes, I've heard that.
312-981-7200. Mike, welcome to WGN. I hear you're, you don't like me, Mike. Go ahead, man.
Mike. Listen.
Yes.
About 20 minutes ago, you were ragging Kyle Long for being a mealy mouth.
Wasn't ragging him.
You were ragging him for not taking a strong position and saying, making strong statements about what happened in Virginia yesterday.
Like his brother,
you were ragging him.
He could have made a stronger statement, Bob. I wasn't ragging him. That's not fair. But go ahead.
And then you start saying about a guy who did make strong statements.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick, he's just getting kicked out of pro football. Mm-hmm. And you're ragging the owners for kicking him out of pro football for making strong statements. So you're bogus, man. If you expect any professional athlete to ever make a statement about anything anymore,
it
ain't going to happen because they can see they'll get kicked out of professional sports.
Mike, Kyle Long's not getting kicked out of professional sports for making a strong statement about white supremacists, Mike. Come on, man.
Of course,
it's not the same thing. It's not the same.
Mike,
it's not the same thing. Kyle Long is going with the grain. Colin Kaepernick's going against the grain. I also made the point, by the way, a second ago, that if you are of the talent level of Colin Kaepernick, you better watch your back if you're going to do that.
Yeah, but I think he did know what could come if he decided to take that stance. He was at a different point in his career. It wasn't like he was the guy. He was still trying to figure out what they were going to do with him in San Fran.
Right.
So he kind of knew, someone, his agent, people around him knew that if he took this stance that this was a possibility.
And he was willing to do
it.
And he raised millions of dollars. And
he's doing a great job of stuff that he's doing, though.
I think it's a very fair question to him whether he would do it again.
I'd probably say he probably would.
I don't know. I mean, I would have told him, hey, man, don't risk your career. There's only a certain amount of time that you get to play in the NFL. Don't do this. You're making you're taking a very large risk. Your talent level is not sufficient enough to do it. You might end up out of the league, costing yourself a ton of money that you, if you want, could put towards the causes that are most important to you. Don't do this. You're not Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You're not LeBron James, who can say whatever he wants to say. If LeBron James went out tomorrow and got in some terrible domestic abuse thing, which, by the way, LeBron James would never do, he'd still be in the league.
Okay, so just to kind of go back a little bit, if football was really top of mind, and I know, you know, he wants to be back in the NFL, but if he really wanted to play, there was probably an opportunity for him to go up north and actually play in the CFL before. I mean, someone has his rights up there. So I'm saying, if he really wanted to play and to show that, listen, I still have it, there was probably an opportunity for him to be able to do. I'm not sure there was, but come on now.
But this is not about football. The guy threw 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. He's there, right?
But I'm saying, though, if you love the game and you want to play and keep your skills up, so I don't know if that's really the thing for him. Does he really, truly want to get back and play? Is it that serious to him?
I don't
know if it is.
I think it is.
I really don't. I
don't think he needs to prove that he's got to go to the CFL to do it. I mean,
but I mean, you have to play football. I mean, you're not, I know what you did last season, Carm, but to me, he was on the declining end of like people not believing in him as a quarterback. I know he ended the season last season with like, you know, pretty well in his touchdowns to interception ratios, but
quarterback rating of 90.
Yeah, we're still talking about a guy that's a backup.
But
But
guys in that position where he's at, they don't have to go to the CFL to prove themselves.
Some people do have to go.
Well, he If he doesn't get...
That's why, I mean, I'm saying just there's opportunities to keep playing if you truly want to play. And then guess what? If you ball out, people can't deny you that you're, that look what he's doing. We have to be able to, we got to go pick him up. Like, look what he's doing there. If you're out of sight, out of mind, you're not playing. People are just going off of what you did last time. And listen, I hope he wants to play, but I don't know if it's really burned him deep down inside to want to keep playing football.
I tend to believe...
Think so? Just because you're an athlete at heart, so you think that's the thing,
right? He's 29 years old. This is what he's done his whole life. I would assume that he wants to be in the NFL and playing football. I know that what he's doing off the field is probably...
I'm not anywhere close to where he was or whatever, but retired at 30. And, yeah, do I miss it? Yeah, but life has been good without it.
Yeah, but you weren't making...
Yeah, it doesn't matter, though. I don't need to be making whatever. I don't need it. It's not the money. It's the playing the game. Sometimes you just fall out of love with it. And if things are happening like he's seeing, what he saw inside that locker room and that with that organization and stuff that he's probably heard that we don't know about, he's probably like, forget all this. I mean, I can do other stuff, man. He's like, it's a toll that's been on him, man. He's had a burden, whether he was right or whether he was wrong. He's had a lot of stuff going on. I just don't know if he wants to go through it all again.
312-981-7200. It would be interesting to hear from him.
I would love to hear from him, but I have no clue.
But well, I think it's pretty clear what's going on. The Ravens, he was interested. They were interested, and then the owner said no. He went to Seattle to interview with the Seahawks. For whatever reason, even though he fits that system perfectly, they eventually said no. I mean, it's pretty... he's been making himself available. You want to talk to me? I think he wants to play, man. Hey, Steve, let's get you in here. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead, Mike. Welcome to WGN. Yes, sir.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, I'm not even going to pause that for it. I fall on the side. Well, I don't necessarily appreciate the owners kicking them, you know, keeping Kaepernick out, but I'm not upset by it either. I'm a two-time. I'm a service-connected veteran, and I was extremely upset by his actions last year, and I understand there are different reasons why he did it, but how it affected me personally and how it hit me personally, it made me as upset as I have been at any. Definitely athlete in almost in almost 10 years. So
Hey, Mike, let me ask you a question, though. Let's say you're a veteran. Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Thank you for your service, Mike.
Thank you for your service, Mike.
You're a hero, man. What happens if he said, listen, I'm kneeling for veterans out there who have not gotten the proper health care that they deserve, guys coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq who've got PTSD and haven't been supported properly, and we have a suicide rate that's out of control in the military, and that's why I'm sitting. What would you have thought about that, if that's what he said?
Considering that I have placed that flag on casket, I would still be equally upset.
Okay.
Listen, I get it. I own, and for me, like I kind of look at it both sides. I'd never really. How things were done, and especially in that time, it's not something I would have done, but I saw his side, but I also saw the other side as well. And so I get it. And I don't think that I think he knew what he was doing. I thought he knew that if he took this stand, he could possibly not have a job. And he went, go ahead.
And see that. And the difference between, I guess, what Kaepernick did pretty much the majority of last season and what Marshawn Lynch did yesterday is that it wasn't just I knelt and I had and he wasn't always articulate in the reasons why he did it or, the other actions that he would do when, coming with, the pig socks or, various symbols that he would leave on his Twitter or while he was at a podium giving interviews. There are a number of things where, yes, he has become a transcendent figure, bigger than than he could possibly have imagined. He couldn't have imagined. He could have imagined there would have been blowback, but he could not have imagined that he would have been pretty much the figure that I forgot the guys who did the fist in the air in the Olympics.
Yeah.
He is that figure of this generation. Yes. He could not have possibly thought that he would be where he is now. And so to think that, hey, an owner is going to bring in just, hey, you know, let this guy be a backup quarterback, because he's going to be out, unless he goes to maybe three or four teams, he's going to be the biggest figure on that team. So why would they? So why would an owner want that? I don't understand.
You're hitting, Mike, appreciate the, Mike. You're right there. That's why he hasn't been signed, because he's not most likely going to change the fortunes of any team. He's just going to be the backup quarterback. You lose your starter in the NFL, you're screwed most times. Yeah. Very, very, very rare that a backup comes in to save the day. They're like, okay, so this guy's not going to save me, and most likely our season, if our quarterback goes down, we're out of it anyway. I'm not bringing this guy on my team because he's going to be a distraction. I mean, that's clearly what's happening.
I know. And that's where I go back to that point I was making to you, Carm, is that back – it used to be, listening to people all the time, it was all about, didn't matter what you did, if you could play, they'd find a way. And we're not seeing that now. But I've seen so many other things wrong with in the NFL that I've seen even over the last couple of years of guys hitting women and all this other stuff and getting opportunities to play, where, you know, that stuff, it's just crazy. It's crazy to me to think about.
Well, how about compare it to this? Last year, there was one quarterback who threw four touchdown passes and five interceptions and was injured and couldn't stay on the field. There was another guy who threw 16 and four on a terrible team and did the best he could to make him available. One guy is 29 years old. The other guy is 34 years old. One guy wants to play in the league and was voted the Courage Award for a teammate. The other guy has had problems with nearly every teammate he's ever had, at least half of them, didn't want to play, got fat, was jumping off a boat, living his life, and then and for whatever reason, the Miami Dolphins just had to have Jay Cutler, who didn't even want to be in the league. They had to beg Jay Cutler's sorry you-know-what to come out and play, where here's another guy, had a better season, 5 years younger, teammate of the year, not fighting with these guys, yet they had to have Cutler. I mean, think about that.
Yeah, but it comes down to system with that, a lot of that decision, though. Cutler, sure. Cutler and Gase, that's where he flourished in 2015, so they felt comfortable with one another. They felt comfortable with the decision.
Right, but
if Jay would have said no and turned it down, it would be interesting to see what happened next.
I mean,
think about it.
If Jay Cutler had done any,
they have David Fales running their offense.
Right. It's just that one's incredible. Here, let's get Steve in here. 312-981-7200. Go ahead.
To me, I think a big part. I mean, you guys have touched on some of it, but. A big part of it is the example that the league sets, or the total lack thereof. I don't know how familiar you are with the You Can Play project that the NHL actually promotes. But the NHL, being a little smaller, obviously, I understand, than the NFL, they're not terribly afraid of making any sort of a political statement. So for those who don't know, the You Can Play project is basically just about inclusion. Anybody can play. If you can play hockey, if you're gay, straight, female, male, whatever, like, you can play on the merits of your skill. The NFL would never make a statement like that. You guys have touched on the domestic violence and other issues. That stuff is less likely to get you blackballed from the NFL than having a political opinion. And the Jay Cutler example is freaking perfect, because there is no way that you're going to tell me that Jay Cutler is a drastically better option than Colin Kaepernick for your team. That's ridiculous. Like, there's no way you're going to tell me he's a way better option. He's going to do more for your team than Colin Kaepernick at this point.
It would be impossible to make that argument. He doesn't even want to be there. He stood up at his press conference. They asked him if he was in shape. He said, you don't have to be in shape. I'm a quarterback smoking Jay Cutler. There's memes of him just having cigarette smoke coming out of his mouth. Thanks for the call, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Listen, man, it's rough. I've seen a lot of stuff. It's rough. Because you would think some of that other stuff would, like Steve was saying, would get you kind of kicked out of football for life. Doing that stuff, putting your hands on women, that type of stuff, and guys are welcome back.
Well, it depends. Ray Rice. To your talent level.
Greg Hardy, though. Look at that situation.
Right. Well,
I mean, his whole situation was crazy, and still trying to find ways to get him back and, like, keep bringing him back because of how athletic he is and a good football player that will find a way to be able to make this happen. Come on, man.
Right.
They're making people are getting second and third and fourth opportunities sometimes.
Well, right. Cap is a whole other animal. There is not money at least in owners' minds, tied to Greg Hardy like there is with Kaepernick as far as sponsorships go. Although, I don't really believe that. Like, can you imagine if Nike, let's say like Nike's a sponsor of the Baltimore Ravens. You signed Colin Kaepernick and Nike bailed out. Are you kidding me? They would never do it.
No, Nike never. Probably wouldn't do
Chevy,
it.
But there's other
brands that probably would.
They would have such backlash coming at them. If Under Armour or Budweiser, who is historically conservative,
they're not doing it. The owners of those companies and how their views. They might take a stand like that and do it.
I don't think the dollars would be. I don't think any team would get crushed.
I'm not saying you couldn't find another sponsor, though. That's the thing.
It is the NFL.
There's another sponsor if that's the case.
Money flowing everywhere. Jim, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, how you doing? I just want to say I'm an old white guy, and I've basically been conservative my whole life. I'm going to tell you, the owners are nothing but prostitutes, and I'm cleaning this up. If this was Tom Brady, he'd be playing.
No question.
So what does that say? It means, if I can make money off of it, I'll do it. But if I'm not going to make money off of it, I'm not going to do it. So you're just playing for the money. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. This guy has every right to do what he wants to do. I've heard on other radio shows and your show that there's support for him in the league. They should stand up for him. It is absolutely, positively disgusting.
Thank you, old white man, Jim.
Love you, Jim.
Hey.
You're the man, Jim.
Hey.
312-981-7200.
Both sides today, man.
Yeah.
I get it.
Well.
I really do. I get it. But if you take away everything else and you just look at the football player, if he wants to play, I think he can still play the game, Carm.
I
literally was in New Orleans, okay? The lights went out, and I watched this dude almost win a Super Bowl championship against a bunch of my friends on the Ravens. I literally almost saw him do that. I've never seen Jay Cutler get that close. I know that for a fact. Of the time here in Chicago,
I barely remember his one playoff win against the 7-9 Seahawks.
I mean, it's crazy. So
your last one on this, we'll move on.
All right.
What's up, Mary?
Hey,
thanks
Mary.
For calling, Mary.
Hi. I'm just an old white woman that was just thinking that when we were looking for a quarterback and we were all tired of Cutler, I don't remember hearing Colin Kaepernick's name come up as a possibility. And to try to blame the president of controlling all the football owners, I think that's a stretch.
I try to make it clear, Mary, that he doesn't. I don't think he has control at all. I think he has control on some, and it happened to be on some of them, or not even control, but they're in bed with him. I don't want to even use the word control.
Yeah.
So the Jets could have used a quarterback. The Texans could have used a quarterback. It was not going to happen, considering their stance. And you're right on the Bears, Mary. Colin Kaepernick would have been a lot cheaper than Mike Glennon, and a lot better. I mean, Mike Glennon just had a quarterback rating of 0, which, by the way, if you throw the ball into the ground in every pass attempt, he would have had a 39.6.
So let's throw this scenario real quick then.
Let's say something happened.
Let's say Mitch Trubisky does not have the game he had on Thursday, right? And the fact is that you got to save him for the future. He's not playing in 2017.
Mitchell
Trubisky. My bad. And Mike Glennon gets hurt in week 2 or 3. And then Mark Sanchez goes down. That knee is still not good. He goes down again. You don't want to play Mitchell. What do the Bears do?
Yeah, and
would they entertain it?
Well, think about it though, like, would they entertain it down the line?
Now, would you entertain it now that you need a quarterback? Would you entertain the Colin Kaepernick conversation? Because right now, it's a quarterback surplus.
I
don't figure it out.
I don't think the Bears are ever considering Colin Kaepernick.
All right. I'm just...
I hear you, though. And look, they gave... Mike Glennon hadn't started a game for 2 years. They gave him nearly $18 million guaranteed for this season, $45 million overall if he lasts. That was the choice. They went with... We think that Glennon is great. Cap wasn't even in the photo.
We thought that. Don't put both of us in that conversation.
Okay, I thought that the Mike Glennon signing, if you want to, think about this. You knew for a second here. You knew you were drafting Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
They were trading up. They were giving up draft picks to get him, which I thought was ridiculous. But whatever. The guy's great. Kudos to you, Ryan Pace. They knew they were drafting him. Why would you give that dude all that much money just for insurance? You could go out and you could have kept Matt Barkley.
No, don't do that.
Okay, fine. You could have kept Brian Hoyer. You could have kept Cuddy. You could have signed Kaepernick.
You could have kept Cuddy to bridge the quarterbacks. And just,
I mean, I think you needed to get Cuddy out of there just for his cuttiness. But there's a lot of guys that could pay a lot less money to.
I miss Cuddy.
I don't miss Cuddy. I like him in the league. I don't like him on the team that I root for.
I wish the Dolphins and the Bears played each other. It'd be that would be great. Rodgers got to figure out a way to make it happen. That would be awesome.
I agree.
Awesome. Please make it happen.
Let's have an intervention. Cuddy versus the Bears should happen. Quick timeout. 720 WGN. Still a little heartwarming to wrap up the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to do a little baseball, keeping yourself healthy to start the 5 o'clock hour. Yes.
Just want to get this out with Danny Long real quick.
Okay.
Primus?
Yep.
Yes. That's how you know I know my music.
I mean, you just
I am well-rounded when it comes to music. For anybody out there that knows Primus is going to give me some love on that one.
That's big time.
That's big time. Thank you, Dan Long.
If you got some Tom Petty back there, Dan, I'll recognize it. Give me a little Beatles, I'll recognize it. Primus, I'm way out over my skis on a Primus.
They were always funky with the bass, man. They always
great bass lines.
That bass lines were awesome. I love music. Go ahead. Sorry. Sorry, Carm.
You guys are just way cooler than me. It's all right. I got to hang with you more often. So little nice, beautiful moment this week. I don't know if you saw the story. Tim Tebow. Playing minor league ball for the Mets, right? This was down in Tampa. It was reported by the Tampa Bay Times. It was the St. Lucie Mets versus the Charlotte Stone Crabs. And there was a 9-year-old boy. His name is Seth Bosch, who was autistic. And he wanted to meet Tebow. So Tebow's in the on-deck circle. The autistic child walks down to the netting behind home plate, sticks his hand through the netting. Tebow shakes his hand, and the kid goes back. He's sitting about 10 rows back to his mom, and he's crying because Tebow shook his hand, and he's just having this amazing moment. And she's consoling him, saying, "It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to cry. Tim, he was, you know, I understand you were super excited to meet him. He's going to hit a home run for you, Seth. Here, watch. He's going to hit a home run from you." Next pitch, Tebow hits a 3-run homer. The kid's sitting there, he just shook his hand, comes back, autistic kid, he's crying with his mom, and she says, "Don't worry, it's okay, he's going to hit a home run for you." And Tebow hits a bomb. That's amazing. Go Tim Tebow.
I love me some Tebow.
I mean, people don't like Tim Tebow, and they get all out of whack with what he's about, but it's like, hey, man.
If you're a college football fan, you better respect that dude's game, man.
Yeah.
College football, one of my favorite players to watch in college football, just – wasn't always pretty how it happened, but he got things done, man. And, man, just now he's playing baseball. Doesn't have to, but just wants to. Right?
You think he's got a direct line to the Almighty? First pitch he saw in his first organized game as his junior in high school, Tebow hit a home run in an instructional league contest. All right. First pitch he saw in his first organized game since his junior year of high school, Tebow hit a home run in an instructional league contest. During his first game in the Arizona Fall League, Tebow laid hands on and prayed for a man who suffered a seizure. Tebow stayed with the man for 15 to 20 minutes as he recovered until paramedics took him from the stadium. His first minor league at bat in April, he slugged a 2-run homer. After being promoted to St. Lucie in an advanced Class A team, Tebow hit a home run on his first day. In July, he had his first walk-off homer since high school.
Yeah.
He could have a direct connection.
He's got a direct connection Almighty.
I think he should be called up in September. Mets are out of it. What's the difference?
I'll never forget that year we went to the Super Bowl. My wife was pregnant with my son. I was trying to find Tebow just to put his hand on my wife's belly so my baby would be blessed.
Legit wanted Tebow to touch the belly.
Yeah, it didn't matter. His genes are already good, so he came out he's came out a monster. It's all good. I just thought it would help. Eddie George ended up touching the belly. So we're all good.
That'll work. What's on Sports Feed tonight?
Sports Feed tonight, kind of the same thing, man. We'll talk all Cubs, Sox, me and Josh Friedman, and then we'll, you know, jump into some stuff, the stuff that Kyle Long said, so we'll be breaking it down. But I'm going to miss you, man. It's been a great conversation. I love hanging out with you.
You're
and
the
talking
man.
With you, man. You're the best.
Always good to see you, Dren. Have a great show.
I'm going to have another one of these cookies before I go.
CLTV at 6 o'clock Sports Feed.
I love you.
4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, WGN TV. Right?
I'm going to be in Bourbonnais, so I won't be back for that.
Okay.
But, yeah, you watch that 4 o'clock.
There you go. There you go.
Love you.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
WGN, 506. Adam Hogue's going to be with us with Ryan Pace in about 10 minutes. Jarrett's out of the studio. That means that I'm all by myself, minus producer Dan Long, who's staring at me. All right. I want to talk about what happened last night in baseball. And I want to relate it to the Chicago Cubs and the White Sox, for that matter. And I think it's important. Bryce Harper, one of the greatest players in the game today, going to get paid $500 gazillion when his contract's up. The Washington Nationals are 14 and a half games up in the NL East. They've got it locked in. 3-hour rain delay last night in the Nationals game. The baseball decides they're going to play the game. Bryce Harper is playing in the game. He hits a ground ball in the infield. He sprints as hard as he possibly can to try to beat it out at first base in a game against the San Francisco Giants, by the way, with Jeff Samardzija ridiculously on the mound whenever I see that guy. He lands on the base as he's sprinting. He's not in control. He ends up blowing out his knee. It's not as bad as originally feared, but he's going to be out for a month, maybe longer. Significant injury. Here's the thing. Baseball is the longest season of all time, right? 162 games. There is never a single play in baseball, when you boil it down to the whole season, that really means anything. So I've seen this happen time and time again with guys who are extremely talented and they choose to quote-unquote play the game the right way and they end up getting injured. I am here to propose that we should make a new right way decision, rule for baseball. If you are the most talented guy on the team or the hottest guy on the team, like Wilson Contreras was for the Cubs, and you hit a ground ball in the infield, there is no way you should be running at 100% to try to beat it out. You're way too valuable to the team. Stars, for lack of a better word, should try less during the regular season. Let me be clear. Come playoff time, different story. October baseball, go all out. But during the regular season, if you're Bryce Harper, if you're Chris Bryant, who, by the way, hasn't hit a home run or barely any home runs in the last month because he slid into third base head first and messed up his finger. If you're a star guy, for lack of a better way of putting it, I don't really want to see you hustling at all. If you want to sit there on a ball that you just bombed out to left center and you think that it's a home run, oh, I'm sorry, I hit off the top of the wall, I'm just going to jog to first base. I would rather have that than you putting yourself and the team at risk by trying to beat out a ball in the infield. It simply is just not worth it. 25th man on the roster, Tommy La Stella or whoever you want to pick out, end of the roster. You, on the other hand, you should never leave the field with your jersey not dirty. You should be diving. You should be sweating. You should be giving everything you possibly can on every play. But the best guy on the team, Bryce Harper, you have the juice of being the best guy. Don't put yourself and, in effect, the team in harm's way by playing super hard in a 162-game baseball season. Focus when you're at the plate. Try to drive the baseball. Hit a double. But I don't want to see you going headfirst into second base or diving for a ball against the wall. It's just, it is... it is an old school philosophy that is just flat out wrong, and it gets proven time and time again. Let's do it from a Bears standpoint. When Mitchell Trubisky finally gets a chance to be the starting quarterback of the Bears, he's going to throw an interception. I don't want Mitchell Trubisky at that point in time going to try to make a tackle. I don't even want him to even sprint off the field and try to get out of harm's way. Just drop down onto one knee and just hang out and do nothing. You're too valuable to be trying to make a tackle. Andy Dalton of the Cincinnati Bengals threw a pick. He goes tries to make a tackle on a pick six. He ends up getting hurt, missing the entire season. Bengals' year was done. You've got to know who you are. And stars in a long 162-game baseball season, for the betterment of the team, if we're really thinking about it logically, should not be going all out where they can get hurt. 75% down the line on a ground ball to shortstop is just fine. If you can't stretch a double into a triple, it's fine. You don't, if you're going to, don't ever, ever, ever slide head first or basically slide it all into home plate. If it plays that close, then I'm totally fine. For Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, you can be at third base. Tommy La Stella, Albert Almora Jr., John Jay, Adam Engel, the White Sox, you best be hustling. Like, they basically should line up the players after the game, and here is Rizzo and Bryant, and their jerseys are clean, and the last guy on the bench, even if he was just in there for one at bat, he should have dirt all over his uniform, like be diving around in the dugout when balls are getting thrown in from infield in between innings. That is should be the quote-unquote new baseball. 312-981-7200. This past week for the Cubs, there's Wilson Contreras out on the field again, day game after night game, playing first base. I'm guessing Joe Maddon's questioning his decision on that, pushing his hottest hitter, but the Cubs were struggling, so he wants to have him in the lineup. Hits a ground ball in the infield. He's lugging it as hard as he possibly can down to first base. Blows out his hamstring. He's out for a month. You can't tell me that you would rather, hey man, Wilson, it's cool. Just go 65, 70%, get yourself to first base and be ready to play the next play. And I know the optics of it look terrible, and I know it goes against like the fundamental all-in nature that you want of guys in sports. But you have to think long-term in the baseball season. Putting yourself in harm's way, stars, I'd borderline fine you. Hey, KB, it's Joe Maddon. You know how you got hurt sliding into third base? I think it was against the Orioles. Going head first. You do that again, I'm going to fine you. 312-981-7200. Who wants to change the way this is looked at? 773. You're an elitist, the worst kind of sports snob. How is that elitist? There's nothing elitist about it. I'm not saying that I'm the best player out there. If I was, see, people who say stuff like that, it's like you have to know who you are in life. Michael Jordan does get special privilege. So does Chris Bryant. Mark Harmon works 7 days a week. Love doing it. I'm not on their level, man. I'm not as talented. The 25th guy on the roster who once was the greatest player on his high school team, on his college team, he's not that anymore. He needs to be doing everything he possibly can for the team to stay on the team. Chris Bryant, who's the MVP and a World Series champion in his second year, he doesn't. And it's not about whether, it's about him having him on the field. I don't want to see Chris Bryant putting himself in harm's way, period. 312-981-7200. Carm, stars that don't give at least 90% won't make the playoffs. I don't think that's true. Stars that get hurt and miss 2 months, then you don't make the playoffs. That's when you don't make the playoffs. You are wrong. Go big or go home every day for everyone. 630. Go, what does that even mean? Go big or go home every day for every. So what are we talking about here? Should Chris Bryant be at batting practice? Should Bryce Harper be at batting practice at 9 a.m. on a day game and just run himself into the ground? It's not about going big or going home. 630, you're kidding, right? The thing I hate most is going to a baseball game and seeing these guys dog it. I get it. It's a hard thing to watch when someone's not going 100%. I get it. It's a bad optic. But would you rather watch Chris Bryant run 65% and be on the field, or would you rather watch Wilson Contreras sit in the dugout for the next month? I mean, what would the choice be? And people, I've been making this point for a while, and the evidence keeps on coming back again and again and again and again. Bryce Harper out for their season. The Washington Nationals have never won a playoff series. If Bryce Harper was done for the year, most likely their season is over. Why would you want him sprinting on a wet field, going 100%, reaching for the bag? It makes no sense. 312-981-7200. This is the biggest pile of doo-doo I've ever heard from the 708. If they're out there, you play at your absolute best every time. That's what makes a great player. You can't pick and choose when you give it 100%. Sure you can. You absolutely can. You can make a conscious decision that when I'm coming out of the batter's box, I'm going to go at a rate that doesn't put me in harm's way. You can absolutely make that decision. And you can also keep yourself loose, do yoga, Pilates, whatever you want to do. And when it comes around to playoff time, you're able to do it. I'm not telling you to get in the batter's box and not be 100% focused on ripping it as hard as you possibly can. But people pay Bryce Harper to hit home runs. Fans want to see Bryce Harper hit home runs, hit doubles, drive in runs. It's not crash into a wall, break his shoulder, and be out for 2 months. Jim. Welcome to WGN, man. Go ahead.
Hi, Mark. So Joe Mann's completely wrong when he says respect 90.
Let's talk about that, Jim. What exactly do you think he means when he says respect 90?
That first base is the most important base, and then after that, the second base. It means 100% all the time, every player.
I don't think it does. Why does it necessarily mean 100%?
Because that's what, you know, When an announcer says that guy didn't run it out, that's not respect to 90, is it? So regardless of the player, everybody's got to give it their all on every play or they're not helping the team.
Jim, if Chris Bryant gives it his all on every play and he's busting it at a quote-unquote 100% on a ground ball to second base that's picked up 99.999% of the time and he ends up getting hurt, I mean, what would be the point of that? I mean, why?
But you can't pick and choose.
Why?
You're a superstar. You go all the time, all the way. You don't say, oh, this ball looks easy, and you run three quarters of the way. That's a bad habit you would never want to get into.
Do you throw a fastball in every pitch, Jim?
No, but you try and make a strike every pitch, unless you're wasting it on purpose. But if you don't, if you start making bad habits and you're not running out bases, and you're watching the ball and checking to see if everything's in place before you start running, well, then you're not going all out anymore, are you?
Why is it a bad habit if you're in general, you're going down the line at 75%? That's what you do. This is what I do. It's for myself. It's for the team. I'm only saying this for the stars, Jim.
You're not a leader. Ask Grizzo if he ever would jog. You know, you got to ask him if he'd ever jog down just because he was feeling bad that day.
No,
he's going to give it his 100% every day because that's where the heart is.
Well, hold on, Jim, hold on. Have you not seen some of the great sluggers of all time when they hit a fly ball sky high in the air to left field? Do you see him sprinting like a lunatic to second base? No,
well,
they just. They don't.
Did you ever see a replay of Mickey Mantle where he wasn't hustling?
Yeah, that's my point, Jim.
He hustled every play, and he played hurt, and he kept at it until he fell over.
Yeah, right. Mickey Mantle's career was a lot shorter than it should have been, right, Jim? I didn't watch a whole
lot
of it.
There's no doubt about it, but that's knee surgery more than hustle or lack of hustle.
But if he took better care of his body, maybe he has a longer career, right?
Well, of course. But at the same time, you can't make that decision in a split section on a ground ball that's short.
I don't think it needs to be in a split second.
I'm here to hit home runs, so I'm not even going to hustle anymore. That would become a bad habit, Mark.
Okay. All right, Jim. Appreciate you. 312-981-7200. It wouldn't be a habit. This is what I do. This is how I play. It's for the betterment of the team. I am this valuable to the team that I can't, you know, go 100% on a ground ball in a game when it's raining out in the middle of August with my team's up 14 and a half games. I just put the whole season in jeopardy because I just tried to get a base hit in a game that means nothing. It's a bad look, man. Martin, welcome to 720 WGN, 312-981-7200.
Hello.
Hello, Martin.
I believe you're totally right. I'm a longtime suffering Reds fan, and what Ken Griffey Jr. went through is a perfect example of what you're talking about. He could have played so many more at-bats. It's totally ridiculous. He'd be diving. It'd be up against the wall, and he'd be diving and hit the wall, and he'd go all out, and he could have done so much better for the team if they could have gotten him to settle down, and he wouldn't have gotten injured as often. And it still would have been better for the team.
Martin, I love you. You're the man. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
I mean,
that's all I got to say.
That's the reality. Guys that are willing to go crashing into the wall to make a play, to make a highlight reel play, to end up on SportsCenter, and to get all the accolades from their teammates, it's great if you're Albert Elmora Jr., if you're John Jay, go all out, man. If you get hurt, the team's fine. But if you are the Ken Griffey Jr., as Martin just said, you're trying to, like, make somebody happy because you're playing hard and win approval for a ridiculous old-school baseball get-off-my-lawn guy reason. You're way better to the team if you're on the field and safe and healthy and doing yoga. And not out at the bars at 2 in the morning. Which, by the way, falls under the same umbrella here. In a weird way. Carm, 312 texting, and you're the anti-Rose. Derek played hard, man. He just got hurt, and then he got scared. I hope Derek has a great season for the Cavs. 312-981-7200. A lot of people are saying, that's right, you cannot pick and choose. It's a game. Play it. I don't want to boil this down to like a softball level of which I play. You absolutely can pick and choose. You don't, if recreational guys, I think you hear me here. You can go out there and sometimes I'm running hard because my body feels good and I can move around. And sometimes, I'm going to hurt myself if I go 1,000% here. A baseball player, again, the top baseball players, it's not picking and choosing. That's how they play. They, at the end of the game, their jersey is not dirty. And they play 160 games and they hit 330 and they hit bombs and they produce runs every single night and they have long careers and they protect the organization, they protect themselves, and they help their teammates and the city win tons of games. Dustin, welcome to WGN.
Hello. So, you know, I was listening. I completely agree with you on the point that players shouldn't go 100% necessarily all the time. Like Bryce Harper, I agree. He shouldn't have been sprinting down the first baseline, especially when it's wet out. But they also have a 14-game lead, so I understand that. But with a situation like the Cubs, they only have a half-game lead over the Cardinals. They only have about 45 to 50 games left. I mean, that's what you need out of your best players. You need Contreras running down the line. You need Bryant trying to make plays. I mean, yeah, it is you're stressed out about it when you see him do that, but at the same time, you have to have your superstars do what they need to do to make sure you're going to even make the playoffs.
Dustin, yeah. if you could rewind back to Wednesday and Wilson Contreras is at the plate and you could talk to him and say, hey, man, if you hit a ground ball, don't push yourself down the line this time. Don't go 1,000%. It's a bit, we just, you know, save it for the next at bat. Would you do it?
It depends on the scenario of the game. If they have a 4 or 5 run lead, then no. But if it's a close game, they're down by a run. If you had the lead, period, no. But if you're tied or you're down a run, then yes, I want 100% on the team, especially with the situation that they're in. I mean, like I said, they only have a half game lead and they're struggling. We need a spark. We need to do what we need to do to win a game.
Right, but okay, now he's out for a month, man.
I understand that, and that's where the next players step up. I'd rather have my I'd rather have the Cubs players give 100% trying to win games. They're defending World Series champions.
Yeah, but
okay?
Dustin, I'm not talking about all the Cub players. I'm talking about the elite of the elite. Listen, again, Ben Zobrist, Addison Russell, Javi Baez, Albert Almora Jr. should 100% be going all the time. But your hustle should be in inverse proportion to your talent. That's the point I'm making. If you're a scrappy guy, you better be scrapping. But if you're a star, be a star.
Wilson Contreras is getting to that level. He's the highest player of the month.
He's been the best player on the team, man. Right.
I understand that. Just on the Cubs. We're not talking MLB. You're right. He's been the best player in the Cubs. And they're still struggling. That's what I'm saying. You need production out of your best players. But if he's leading by example, if he's a star player in the team, they're going to follow
Dustin.
If they see Wilson Contreras going 75%, 60%, what makes you think the rest of the players are going to go 70%, 65%?
I'm the manager of the team. If you don't go 70, if you're, and I appreciate the call, Dustin. I'm up against the breaker. I'm the manager of the team. Hey, hello there, Albert Almora Jr. You don't ever run like Wilson Contreras, who's hitting 700 right now and hitting bombs. You have not earned that right. If you don't do it, I won't play you. These guys are their own dudes. They're not going to sit there and like look at Wilson and be like, oh, well, if he does that, then I don't have to. And if they do, then that's why you have a manager. I do have to take a quick time out here. Ryan Pace from training camp with Adam Ho coming up after the 5:30 news. 720 WGN. Albert Almora Jr. just dove headfirst into first base, doing exactly what I'm talking about. That's right, Almora, 23rd guy on the roster. You dive, buddy. By the way, if you ran through first base, you would have been safe. Adam Hoge, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, buddy. Sorry, it's been kind of crazy today.
That's okay. You're doing work, baby.
Yes, we had a chance to sit down with Ryan Pace today, which was we did this last year in New England. He came on the podcast that I do with Adam Johns. You can find it on WGNRadio.com. The entire episode is now up, but we want to bring you a chunk of this because obviously, you know, he's really the guy who hasn't talked since Mitchell Trubisky's.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Debuted the other night. And obviously he's the guy who drafted Mitchell Trubisky. So that's where we started, as you can imagine. So what we did here was pull everything about the quarterbacks from our conversation. We talked to him for over 20 minutes. So for the full thing, you can find it on WGNRadio.com or subscribe on iTunes by searching for the Hogan Johns podcast. But here's what you want, the quarterback talk with Ryan Pace. And we started out just by asking him what he thought about Mitch's debut.
Yeah, he played well. I think you saw, you know, a lot of the traits that, you know, we valued and we've talked about. And a lot of the things I'm sure you guys have seen in practice as well. It's always interesting when the lights come on and, you know, his first, you know, NFL, albeit preseason performance. But I think you saw, you know, the athleticism and the accuracy and the poise and some of the things that we value. So that was very encouraging.
How do you not get too far ahead of yourself? So, I mean, you guys have this plan. The word plan has been used, I think, a thousand times. But it's one preseason game. How do you temper maybe your own excitement?
I think, Adam, you know, you look at any rookie quarterbacks coming in the league over the years, and there's going to be ups and downs and ebbs and flows, and you kind of anticipate that. You know, it's the process of any young player's growth, especially at that position. So, hey, you started off on a good, you know, good foot. But there's a lot of preseason yet to be played, a lot of progress still to be made. But it's good to start off on a positive note.
I think what surprised me is, well, here at camp he's had some up and down moments, interceptions on the goal line and things like that. He struggled in 2-minute drills down here, situational stuff. To see him come in a 2-minute situation, start off 10 for 10. I mean, were you at all surprised yourself the way he came out and when the lights are on?
I wouldn't say, that I think obviously he was prepared. I think you talked about, mm-hmm. Having the script and kind of, having a better feel for what was coming. And, a lot of times, too, you get in these preseason games, especially late, and, there's some vanilla things happening defensively that I think can aid a young quarterback. But I wouldn't say I was surprised. And, some guys, we've seen them throughout our careers. When the lights come on, they step up. So, again, I love that room, love the quarterback room. It's definitely a competitive environment from really 1 to 4, and it's good to see.
I was thinking about this yesterday. You had Drew Brees in New Orleans. John Fox just coached Peyton Manning in Denver. What happened Thursday night? I know it's just a preseason game, but those of us that have lived in Chicago for all our lives, we haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Just a quarterback take the field that way, that with that much confidence, and just from the start, bam, bam,
bam. He looked like he belonged immediately.
We realize it's a preseason game, but it's just – did you have a sense for that maybe on Thursday night at Soldier Field? Because the crowd, you could tell, they just sort of perked up in the second half.
You do feel the crowd, and I think it applies. I look back on the preseason game, and obviously there's things you want to get better at. There's things we were happy with. But I think you look at the positives and, you look at his play and you look at Leonard Floyd and Kwiatkowski and Bullard, and I thought Sims played well. And so I think in general, I think when the crowd sees, hopefully a surge of some young talent coming in, it is an uplifting moment. And it just makes me proud to be part of this and hopefully giving the fans something that they can cheer about.
So when you're – I'm going to have fun with the word plan here. Planning your plan for your quarterback situation. At one point, maybe in that plan, is there the plan to maybe change the plan?
Yeah.
What if, if Mike, it wasn't a good day for him, but let's say if Mitch continues to excel.
I think, with Mike Glennon, and I know we've talked about this before, there's a lot of evaluation that went into that, and he's played in a lot of games, and Mike's had a really good offseason. He's had good OTAs, good mini camps, good training camp. He's practiced well the last 2 days, so I think he's responded well. And when you look back on that game, what was it, 18 plays, week one of the preseason, and I think Coach Fox talked about this, there's 10 other guys on the field, and so there's a lot of things that we can do better around him, and whether it's, getting the running game going and, working on our releases at the receiver position and things like that, that I think can help the quarterback. So, Mike's our starter and we're rolling that way. But hey, having competition throughout the field on all positions is important.
Yeah. And it's like any other position, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you eventually reach a point where you go with the guy that's going to be to give you the best chance to win. And I understand that Glennon, the plan you guys came in here with, it makes a lot of sense. I think this thing, I was surprised because I was totally on board with that and still am, because the adjustment that Mitch is making from North Carolina to this offense here is really different. I think that's part of the reason why I was sort of caught off guard with how good he looked the other mm-hmm. night, was because he was so in control of that offense. So, I mean, the bottom line, and I keep telling people this, is you don't necessarily know how it's going to play out, right? That's why you have the preseason.
And I don't want to, I don't want to temper the excitement for Mitch at all. Like that, that's great to see. That's extremely positive. But I also want to be like, hey, Mike Glennon, it's one preseason game. There's a lot of things that go into that other than just one player. And, there's a lot of evidence that supports that, hey, we really like him as our starting quarterback, Mike Glennon. So I want, I want to convey that support as we're talking here. Again, one preseason game, and I think he's going to respond well from that.
Mike has talked about ignoring the hype. John Fox just compared it to the Tim Tebow-like hype when he was in Denver, what Trubisky did. But internally, how do you handle that hype? I mean, these guys are engaged in social media. I mean, yeah. Mitch is on Instagram and stuff like that. I literally did a TV appearance on Comcast, and the broadcaster, Luke Stuckmeyer, is wearing a Mitch is our quarterback T-shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, there are T-shirts being sold touting this guy already.
Yeah.
Like, internally, how do you tune out the hype that's been born now?
You're talking about for him?
For Mitch and, for Mike to see all that stuff.
Yeah, I think the more, and we talk about this a lot, like the more you can kind of keep your world small, and you can kind of close it off. And, hey, it's Hallis Hall, it's Bourbonnais, it's home. And just keep your circle tight and your world kind of smaller. And I think, if if you have the right mental toughness that we all want, then you're able to do those things, you know, and block that out, you know, and shield yourself from those things and just keep yourself embedded in the locker room and, you know, within our culture. And I think we get the right kind of guys with the right kind of mindset to do that.
All right, so there he is.
So what does that all mean there, Sir Adam Hoge? What's your takeaway?
Well, I think you heard a guy who was careful to give Mitch a lot of credit for his performance, but without propping up too much, because it's very obvious this organization is very sensitive to Mike Glennon. And, I mean, the most important thing you heard in there, Mike Glennon's our starter. We're rolling that way. But, did you hear the but?
I heard the but.
But it's important to have competition. So.
Who does he want starting? Say week 7. Well, week 10.
I don't know about if you just put a week on it. But there's no question he wants Mitch Trubisky to be his starter. That's why he drafted him number 2 overall.
Right. So wouldn't he be completely fine if Mitchell Trubisky won the Derby right now and Fox was like, "You know what? I think Mitchell gives us the best chance to win and we are going with Mitchell Trubisky to start the season."
Well, and it wouldn't surprise me if that's what Fox ends up wanting. But look, let's see how they play Saturday. And I think that's another thing that Ryan brought up in that interview was, look, we have a lot of evidence that says Glennon can play at a high level for us. Now, the fans haven't seen it yet, and I understand why you, among others, are so anti-Mike Glennon this week. But, you know, I think it's fair to let him throw more than 8 passes in one preseason game before you completely judge him. Look, there's no question, though, that Mitch Trubisky is the more talented of the two quarterbacks. You could see that here in practice in Bourbonnais, even though Trubisky wasn't lighting it up like he did in that game the other night. He's had his struggles here in Bourbonnais, but all of a sudden, every once in a while, he throws a ridiculous pass that you're like, oh, the other guys can't do that, including Glennon. So down the road, the big question, Trubisky's the starter. When that is, we don't know yet. And for right now, you heard it from Ryan Pace in that interview that Glennon's still the guy. But I just, you know, having been down here every single day, I feel like the tune has changed just slightly, just a little bit in the last 3 or 4 days since that game Thursday night.
I mean, how could it not? Right. It was the perfect storm for things changing. Glennon was terrible. So, by the way, the Broncos are a good defensive team. I didn't see any receivers exactly creating a lot of separation, too. So let's make sure we have that in there.
Yep.
But he was terrible, and Trubisky was way better than advertised. And I thought just putting him in to run the 2-minute drill at the end of the first half was, to me, that was aggressive. Like, why not? You're making him the third stringer. Why not just let him start out the second half? But I think they just, like, let's see what you do right here. 2-minute drill. Don't have to think a lot. Just run it. I thought that was an interesting time to put him in.
Yeah, but I think that was something they planned ahead of time if they got the opportunity. I think otherwise Trubisky was just going to play the second half of the game. But it just presented itself so perfectly to get him out there in that spot. And certainly he made him look good by marching right down the field. So that was
No, but why was that planned? Well, what's the thought process behind that?
Because Mark Sanchez has done that how many times in his career?
Okay, so they just want to give him a 2-minute drill.
It was a test. It was a test, dude. You've never thrown an NFL pass. We're putting you out there in this situation. Go march down the field and see what you can do. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Fox even mentioned in his press conference after the game that Sanchez has done this. We've seen Sanchez, and I like that, that they're at least willing to admit that. Trubisky's the one that needs the reps. I thought the reps the other night were split up pretty perfectly.
I also liked, as far as the reps go, that they left Glennon into the second quarter. Dude, you've been terrible. We haven't supported you as well as we possibly could, so take a couple more series here, or at least one more. I mean, I thought he was going to be out after 2 series. He's still in there in the second quarter.
Well, that's what I was saying going into the game. Mike Glennon is not an established player. He needs reps. He has not played a lot in the NFL, and he hasn't certainly not played a lot in the last 3 years. So I don't look at him all that much differently than Trubisky. I think they both need a ton of reps in the preseason. Now, Mark Sanchez is dealing with an ankle injury. He did not practice today. That was interesting. The word is that Sanchez is going to be ready to play Saturday, but I would do a similar deal. Start Glennon, get him a good amount of reps. If you bring Sanchez in, I said this before the last game, I'm fine if Sanchez doesn't play. But if he does play, you know, give him just a series or two and then go the rest of the game with Trubisky again.
Right. I mean, Mark Sanchez should be playing in the fourth quarter in preseason, I think. Let Glennon play the first quarter into the second, and let Trubisky, or whatever, let Sanchez play the last 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. In fact, I like that idea. And I don't know if you noticed, but they basically had the second team offensive line play the rest of the game with Trubisky. They didn't really go with the third stringers, which was something I pointed out before the game that I was kind of worried about because they had not been protecting him too well in practice. And I think that showed up in the game because they pretty much just rolled with the second team offensive line out there with Mitch Trubisky. And I think it's important to have him play against better competition. They seem to be so sensitive about this Trubisky situation that I feel like they would be afraid to play him ahead of Sanchez on Saturday just because it would look like, oh, he's passed him and is now the second teamer, which...
I mean, get over it. He's going to pass him.
Yeah, he should be the second teamer.
Of course he should. He is the second teamer.
He basically is.
If Mike Glennon blew out his arm or whatever, got cracked and blew out his shoulder in week one, I wouldn't think if Trubisky keeps going like he's going, they would go to Mark Sanchez. Not that I'm rooting for Mike Glennon to get hurt, for the record.
If the game was tonight, I think they would play Sanchez over Trubisky, but let's play this thing out. I mean, if Trubisky balls out in Arizona Saturday, and then he comes back and he does the same thing in Tennessee in the third preseason game. I mean, that's to the point where you go, okay, Connor Shaw, you're playing the entire fourth preseason game. I'm not even putting Trubisky out there for that one. And depending on how Glennon's playing. I mean, if what happened last week happens two more times, then Trubisky's got to be your week one starter.
Yep.
But I think Glennon's going to play better.
Well, he can't play any worse.
Well,
okay. He can't. And I think he'll be. I don't know why I'm saying that and what I'm basing it on. You know, I heard like some Bears experts who were talking about, you know, before game one, saying that this guy throwing the ball in between the hash marks is as good as it gets. I'm like, what? Come on, that can't be
Glennon?
Yes. Like that's his bread and butter, and this was more of a team friendly broadcast angle that I was hearing it from. Like, come on, that can't be true. But it did give me some optimism that, okay, you can't just make that completely up, can you?
Well, here's the scouting report on Glennon. If he has good protection and he's not throwing deep, he can be a pretty good NFL quarterback. But you got to protect him well because, look, you just saw the difference in footwork and athleticism with Trubisky the second he went in that game. Glennon can't do those things. You know, someone even pointed out to me today that, like, his handoffs look like they're slower. Whereas Trubisky gets the snap and he, like, sprints to the running back.
I agree. That was part of my Mitchell Trubisky turn on Thursday night. Everything was super fast.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that he was rolling out. He was rolling out with some, as they would put in the old baseball world, exit velocity. From the center, I want that put into football terminology. I'm like, oh my God, you're an elite athlete.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, that's...
And you know what? That was the one thing that I kept saying that before the draft, that he did not get it. Everyone was just like Deshaun Watson, he's the athletic runner. I kept saying Trubisky can do all those things, except he's more accurate and he has a better arm.
Well, he got
that's why Mitch Trubisky got drafted ahead of Deshaun Watson. People could not get that in their heads before the draft. But that's why, whether you agreed or disagreed with who should go first, like, that's what NFL scouts see. And that's why I think it was almost unanimous across the board. When you really dig deep and you find out what teams were willing to draft which quarterback first, I think most of them would have drafted Trubisky first.
Well, that's where the white guy gets the short end of the stick. We always short them on their athleticism. It's tough out there for white people because of that. Right? You're not willing to go there? We always short the white guy on his athleticism. He can't be an athlete. He can't be as good as athletic as Deshaun Watson.
Well, look, I think what you're getting at is anytime we get into these scouting situations.
Right.
Absolutely.
Mitchell's super smart.
There are stereotypes that absolutely get... Yeah.
Right, right. All right, here, we'll take our final timeout. Brian Noonan's coming up here. Great work and Ryan Pace, Adam Ho. Good stuff.
All right, and for the rest of that interview, because we talked about a ton more, that was a 20-minute conversation, you can find it on WGNRadio.com right now, or subscribe on iTunes. Just look for the Hogan Johns podcast.